Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Should Christians say Happy Easter? Names are designed to distinguish objects and originally express the distinct impressions that objects made upon one or the special relations in which they stood to the person. Thus, God brought the beast to Adam, and from the impression they made upon him, he assigned names to them. Some names were given prophetically, such as the name of Jesus, the Savior. Often the name of a natural object was given to a child, such as Jonah, Tamar, and Tabitha. Sometimes a name preserved the memory of a national event, such as Ichabod. From a comparison to the roots of many names with the same roots in the cognate dialects, it is evident Hebrew in its early days, much more closely allied to Arab, that when it became a literary tongue. Much use might be made of the study of the Hebrew proper names for the better understanding of the history of that people. The Israelites were fond of playing on names. The name to them was a sign of something quite outward. Hence, names rarely became hereditary. They still retained their significance, being proper personal names, seldom passing into the unmeaning surname. They generally expressed some personal characteristics, some incident connected with the birth, some hope or wish or prayer of the parent, and henceforth the child embodied it. And for the parent's sake, felt it like a personal vow and made his life an effort to realize it. This tendency to play on names and find analogy or contrasts in them is seen throughout the Bible. And so names have more meaning. In that case, from reading from the Bible dictionary, it was names of people. But names also of places and events have significance, especially in days gone by. Today, we don't think so much of meanings of names when we name our children. Usually it's because it was a nice sounding name, or maybe it was a friend or a family member that you wanted to honor. Usually we don't give credence or thought to the meaning of a name when we name a child or something. The English language has changed over the years. So as we do think about etymology, the origin of words, usually it doesn't mean much to us. Words have changed over the years. Some words are not used or rarely used. Some words have been added to the vocabulary. As we all know, get in the realm of computers, and aren't we constantly learning new words, whether we want to or not? And then, of course, we live in the day of political correctness. Is it Mrs. or Ms.? Some are offended by that either way. Groups of people accept or are affronted by certain names of identification. Sometimes you're afraid to call a group something because you're going to offend them because you used the wrong word. I've learned that when I'm in Trinidad, don't refer to someone who was born there as a native. That's a very derogatory expression. Fortunately, I didn't learn the hard way. Somebody told me before I did it. But then we get into events. Christmas or Xmas? Is it Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? I'm not convinced that it's so bad to say holiday. That came from the words holy day. Not that I'm advocating Christmas is a holy day, but is it really that bad to say Happy Holy Days? We need to be careful what we get excited about. Tonight we're going to focus on Happy Easter. Is it wrong to say that? I know it's pagan in origin, but is it wrong? Let's consider this tonight. To some, they go so far as to include with Easter, Ash Wednesday, Lent, fasting, and Good Friday. It's very inclusive. But are these really to be included in Easter? I don't think so. I've had people ask about our Lent services, or for Christmas, our Advent services. I don't see it in the Bible. It's not there. Let's do what the Bible says. And then, of course, dare we associate Easter with Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday? That's what it means in the French. Fat Tuesday. Let me read from the encyclopedia. Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, in English, refers to the events of the carnival celebrations beginning on or after the Epiphany of King's Day and the culminating on the day before Ash Wednesday. It is French for Fat Tuesday, reflecting the practice of the last night of eating richer fatty foods before the ritual fasting of the Lenten season. It's not in the Bible. Let's consider the facts of the matter as we address this issue tonight. Let's start with the origin of the Sabbath. This is in the creation story, Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God didn't need a rest, but he set forth a principle to take a rest. And so it is that after he created in 6 days, this world, 6 literal days, on the literal seventh day, he rested. That seventh day, God rested from his work of creation. That concept of Sabbath was then brought into the law. And in Exodus chapter 20, we have what is called the Ten Commandments. Let's take a look. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, we will see that the Sabbath, started by God at creation, was brought into the law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Brought into the law, which was of course the governing rules of the Jews as they worshiped God. Thus the law required the Jews to obey the law, which included the Sabbath. For hundreds of years, God worked through the Jew, through the law, to be the light to the world. But unfortunately, the Jews failed miserably. They got so wrapped up in the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law that when Messiah came, they missed him. These religious leaders who were so engrossed in the detail and the letter of the law, they missed the whole point of it. John 1:11, he, Messiah, came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only did they not receive him, they're the ones that cried out, "Crucify him!" John 19:15, but they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests, the leaders, answered, "We have no king but Caesar." This is how lost the Jews were, and yet they deemed themselves so holy and righteous. They missed the whole point. And so it is, at the resurrection of Christ, he then ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down, and now no longer we under the law, we are under the church. In the law, they had the Sabbath. We don't have the Sabbath today. It was Saturday, but it's another day to us. We're not told to obey the Sabbath. That was not for us. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. The whole idea of it being the Jewish system and the law is done away with. And now we have gone to the church age. And we're not under that law. And there are sometimes, especially as you read of days gone by, people talking about Sunday as the Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath. Saturday was the Sabbath. And that was for the Jew under the law. Keep that in mind now. We're going to build up to where we're going here. The Jews Also, we're given Passover. I want you to consider this. Way back in Exodus, when the children of Israel were just being delivered from the bondage of Egypt, as they were in chapter 12 of Exodus, getting ready for the literal Exodus, the Lord spoke unto Moses that they should each select a lamb this night, the night of their deliverance. Verse 5 of Exodus 12, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So, the firstborn of every family is going to die. This death angel is going to come by. But they're to take this male without blemish, a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, an innocent one. This lamb has nothing to do with anything. But they chose the perfect one without blemish. As Jesus Christ was without blemish, they brought it into their home, and then they killed it. And they took the blood and put it on the side post and on the top post. They would go in and eat it. And when the death angel came by and saw the blood, they passed over. And so it is, if there was no blood, death came to their door. What a glorious picture of salvation. Exodus 12:24, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever." The Jews were to do this on that day in the first month continually. A celebration, a remembrance, year after year after year after year. When Jesus came, he transitioned that Passover from the Jewish law into what we observe today and we call communion. Please consider Matthew 26:19. "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made them ready the Passover." This is what we would call the Last Supper. They made ready the Passover. And there, Jesus Christ clearly identified that Passover for years done by the Jews was literally picturing him. Look at his words as he had this feast that night with the disciples. In Matthew 26:26, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin.'" So this dinner from Passover, he is transitioning into what we call communion. We don't observe Passover, but consider what Paul taught through the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:23. "As the transition has come, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" The Jews did Passover year after year in remembrance, and in remembrance that one is going to come, the perfect Lamb of God. We look back to that Lamb of God. Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And so it is, we have this Passover prepared by the disciples, and Jesus and the disciples are there, and he transitions and clearly defines, "This is me." And Paul has received the command and teaches clearly that our communion is for the church, but we don't do the Passover. The significance then also, as we transition from the Jew observed the Sabbath, we recognize Sunday. Did you know that Jesus rose on Sunday? As we think about the resurrection, we have to remember the Jewish day is reckoned from sundown to sundown. We reckon a day at midnight. They didn't have Greenwich Mean Time. And they didn't have watches. They had the sun and the moon. Sundown started and ended a day. Please keep that in mind as we read this verse. Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, the sun had gone down, Saturday was over, the darkness is now Sunday, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre upon the first day of the week. And what happened upon that first day of the week? The tomb was empty. He was risen from the dead. Keep it in mind, we'll bring all this together. And so it is, that first day of the week, being the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is now for the church. The disciples taught us that they assembled. Look at it in Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, starting the change. We don't observe a Passover. We observe the day the Lord rose from the dead, the first day of the week, Sunday. Paul confirms this in 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, he is writing to the church at Corinth. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Bring your offerings the first day of the week when you get together for church. This is the day for the church. Every Sunday, when we come to church, we are recognizing the resurrection. The Bible never ever said to the church one special day a year to remember the resurrection. Now, I don't see the Bible condemning it, but I don't see the Bible establishing it either. The truth is, when we come to church, we are recognizing this is the day that the Lord rose from the dead. And when we take communion, we are remembering His death till He come. Take a look at it again. In 1 Corinthians 11:23. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." There's your celebration, and we aren't told how often to have communion. As often as you do it. We're careful. We don't want to do it too much so it becomes commonplace, but we don't want it to be so far apart that it's not enjoyed and appreciated. So we try to do it monthly. But the Bible never said do it monthly. The Bible just said as often as you do it. So God has given us liberty in that. So Sunday and communion each are a remembrance and a recognition of the resurrection of the Lord. Well, then this brings us to Easter. This one day that is set aside to remember the resurrection of the Lord. I don't see it condemned. But I don't see it established either. Let us please read Acts chapter 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, Herod and Peter. And when he, Herod, had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So we have the word Easter here in the Scriptures. When he, King Herod, had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That word Easter, you get down to the root of it, it's actually Chaldean. It's not even Greek or Hebrew. It comes from a Chaldean origin, meaning Passover. The meal of the day, the festival, and the special sacrifice that connected with it. But I want you to see something here as we look at that verse. What is Easter saying here? And when he, King Herod, had apprehended him, he put him in prison, Peter. He put Peter in prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Now, how long was King Herod going to keep him in prison? Till after Easter. King Herod is a wicked man, a godless man. I personally think that the Bible is incredibly accurate in what it's saying here. King Herod, a godless man, would recognize and see the Jews assembling for some feast. And as an unsaved man, he said, that's Easter. But the Bible said what? It was unleavened bread. To the unsaved, it was Easter. Now, I know that the Jewish system is not in effect at that time, but it is more biblical to call it unleavened bread, which the first day of unleavened bread is Passover. I think what that verse is giving us is the thinking of an unsaved man. An unsaved man would think, I'm going to wait till after Easter, because it's not any kind of a special day to him. Just like Christmas to the unsaved has nothing to do with the Lord. Easter has nothing to do with the Lord, but they still associate it with, if in this verse, unleavened bread. They still associate it with some kind of a religious observance that these Christians do. So to the unsaved, it's Christmas or Easter. And to us, it's the birth of Messiah and it's the death of Messiah and the resurrection on that Easter morning. It means more to us. I do think the Bible is very subtly telling us something here. Let us read Acts 12:3. And because he, King Herod, he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. He apprehended him to put him in prison, delivered him to the 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him. And in his thinking, I'm going to wait till after Easter. To the unsaved, it was Easter, this Chaldean word. But to those that understood, and I know that the time had passed, it was now the church age, but it was still identified as unleavened bread. And I think we can see this today. But what are we to do? Let us bring it home now. The truth is, believers are different. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not to live like the world. We're to live like children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our status and purpose is much different than those that don't know Christ. We are truly saved. Look at 1 Peter 2:9. Ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. And you are a holy nation. A peculiar people. When we think of the word peculiar, we usually think it in a derogatory sense. But in this case, it's actually a very special. We are different. We are peculiar. We're different because we are children of the King. Now, whether we live like it or not, it's a different story. We should live like it. But not all believers do live like it. Our status is different. We're chosen. We're a royal priest. We are a peculiar people. We're a holy nation. And our purpose is different. That we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are to be different from the world. But we're not to try to make ourselves oddballs. The idea that we live for Christ will make us different enough. As we don't do or participate or act as the world behaves. But does that mean that we must not say things such as, Happy Easter? Let me remind you of this. Easter is how the world recognizes this holiday. Therefore, why don't we use it to win souls rather than turn it off? Do I know that Easter is pagan in origin? Absolutely, and it is. But I also know that there are people who will never come to church except for Christmas and Easter. The last thing I want to do is offend them over the name. Let's get them in and get them saved. Let's major on the major and minors on the minors. Recently, my wife was asked by an unsaved person, would you please explain Easter to me? What an opportunity. She gave the gospel. It is true. It is based on paganism. But I want us to think a little bit more about this concept of being based on paganism. How many of you use the word Sunday? 52 weeks out of the year. Did you know Sunday is pagan in origin? The Roman god of the sun? We have Sunday school, don't we? The Bible, if you do a word search on it, will not find the word Sunday. It's not there. It's pagan in origin. Let me quote Bible Dictionary. Sunday is the first day of the week adopted by the first Christians from the Roman calendar because it was dedicated to the worship of the sun. The Christians reinterpreted the heathen name by implying the son of righteousness. But it was pagan. Why can't we take over Easter? Let me quote a letter written at a minister's conference, and it was read at this minister's conference in 1893. Quote, "Of course I quite well know that Sunday did come into use in the early Christian history as a religious day, as we learn from the Christian fathers and other sources. But what a pity that it comes branded with the mark of paganism and christened with the name of the sun god." Did you know there are other names that you use that are based on paganism and don't even think about it? Probably don't even know it. Some of you, I'm sure, do. Sunday is named after the Roman sun god. Monday is named after the moon goddess. Tuesday is named after the deity Tyr, T-Y-R. Wednesday is named after the pagan god Odin or Woden. Thursday is named after the Norse god Thor. Friday is named after the pagan goddess Frigga. The seventh day, Saturday, is named after the pagan god Saturn. Are we going to stop using these? How about January? It's named after the Roman deity Janus. March is named after the Roman deity Mars. April is indicating a time of fertility. Maya, for May, is a female Roman deity. June is the wife of Jupiter in Roman mythology. But you know, we don't care anymore about the origin of words. When I say Sunday, I am not honoring the Roman god of the sun. It's what we use in the English language. Is it okay to use the word Happy Easter? Yes. Yes, it is. I'm not saying it's not pagan in origin, but I'm saying this is what people identify. Let's use it and win souls for it. Many of our words used for days, months, and other special events have pagan origins, not to be denied. Yet we go about life not recognizing that origin, but what it means to us today. We know this stuff. Do I know that Easter is really the resurrection of Christ? Of course I do. But the Bible never told us to have one special day. So what's wrong with it? By using words like Sunday and Easter, we are simply understanding the day that we're observing. And unsaved people come to church. It's still a great day to assemble, worship the Lord, and reach the lost. Let us major on the majors, minor on the minors. The most important thing is not the name of the day. It's that we give the gospel, because that's what it's all about. The Son of God gave His life that people could be born again. That's what matters.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.